Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show, brought to you by Dr. Pepper and Hooters, your home to watch all the college game day action with an ice cold Dr. Pepper.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring.
Chuck Oliver Show. Continuing here on a Wednesday. And, you know, this is, I'm trying to think like any movie other than Mean Girls that this one was in. You know, where Gretchen Wieners and all them are up there singing. And she kicks the boombox and hits the guy that she was after. It's a great movie. I whenever I bring up Mean Girls and then, you know, it's one of those, oh, it's one of your favorite movies. I'm like, yeah, I love that movie. It's hilarious. I mean, I think anybody that went through high school can relate to that movie. It's pretty funny. I don't know. I enjoy it. Anyway, as we move along here on a Wednesday, you know, it's that time of the year where you're looking for good game-watching spots. You're wanting to make sure that you got a good plate of wings in front of you. Maybe you got you a couple of tasty beverages there. I know a place you can do that. Hooters. And attention football fans, Dr. Pepper and Hooters are giving you the chance to win tickets to the huge college football semifinal game coming up in Atlanta. Stop into your local Hooters today where you can register for your chance to win tickets and hotel to the college football semifinals game that's going to be happening in Atlanta, courtesy of Dr. Pepper. While there, post a picture of you and your party drinking an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. I don't think anybody needs arm-twisting on that. Using the hashtag Hootersville for an additional chance to win. It's the ultimate college football semifinals promo, courtesy of Dr. Pepper and Hooters. Stop in for your chance to win today. That's something that's never a bad idea. Always love to be able to do that. But we talked about this a little bit there at the end of hour one with good buddy Chris Gordy of the Locked On SEC podcast. That is what's happening at Texas A&M. And as of right now, A&M is one of the top schools, if not the top school, in terms of losing players to the transfer portal. And it just kind of feeds into this very important offseason that people thought was going to be afoot for Jimbo Fisher. And as of a couple of days ago, this was on Monday, A&M was the second most in the country and first in the SEC in terms of players entering the transfer portal. They had 10 at that point. I think it's increased. Regardless, this was something that a lot of people thought was going to be the case. Virginia Tech, you know, the Brent Pry and the job that he's having to try to do there at Virginia Tech, losing a lot of players. That's something that I don't necessarily thought that they were going to be having to deal with this year. But it is a situation now for Jimbo where I think that not only that, but also, too, you're looking at our coaches going to be leaving this offseason. And one of the ways that I think that you can tell that maybe things are not necessarily the most stable is players leaving the transfer portal. We've seen it at numerous places. Players leaving, sometimes they come back. Sometimes it's just a, yeah, hey, this isn't what I signed up for. I'm going elsewhere. They make that decision. Where you can really tell that things are not going well with a program is when you see coaches leaving voluntarily. And let me lay it out. Last year at Georgia Tech, I think a lot of people agreed that this coming season, the one that we just had, was going to be a very important year for Jeff Collins to be able to show tangible improvement that you could look at and say, okay, the program's on the right track. While the bowl games and other wins have not necessarily come, we can at least see that there is progress. They looked at Florida State this year and said that about Mike Norvell, saying, hey, Mike, you better win, and you better do so in pretty, you know, impressive fashion this year, which he started off the year in a great way of that second game of the season, week one, taking down LSU, and then finishing the season 9-3. Of course, people there in Tallahassee looked at it and said, okay, we can see that things are improving around here. But if you start seeing that not only it's a parting of ways there in College Station, but if you start to see that coaches are voluntarily leaving to take other jobs, then I think if nothing else, because you have to remember what the coaching profession is, it is one of the most tight-knit and probably a industry where it's a who do I trust, but then also, too, when I find people I trust, I follow their word. And you get people who then start talking in this profession who say, hey, you know, you can stay there at school X, but I've heard that things are not necessarily looking that up. And despite the fact that coaches know that they're going to be moving around a lot when they take this job, if they can take a job where they feel like that there is a certain level of continuity and a certain level of job security in relative terms, they take that job, absolutely. And then if there is a situation where it sounds like that the ground could be pretty unstable beneath them, then they start to look for a landing spot where they can say, hey, at least I know I can be here for the next 3 or 4 years. And I think that's something else that you can look at with there at Texas A&M, because they're still recruiting at a pretty high level. And we'll talk about this a little bit more with Woody Womack of Rivals.com. But they're not at the level that they were last year, but A&M still trying to add players, as they are 24th, according to 24/7 right now at the moment. But they're going to be very active in the transfer portal. I don't think there's any doubt about that, especially, too, with all the players leaving. And now it is going to be interesting to keep an eye on it there. A few minutes before we talk with Ryan Callahan here in about 10 minutes, a couple of coaching bits of news out there. Now, we used to do headlines at this time of the show, but now kind of just, you know, riff on some things a little bit, if you will. And one of them is, it sounds like Barry Odom is going to be the next coach at UNLV. Now, I had heard yesterday from a buddy of mine, I had not seen this anywhere. Again, over the weekend, I was kind of out of the pocket a little bit with, you know, friends and family on the road for vacation. But that, I guess, Ed Orgeron was considered for the UNLV opening for some time. And I'm sure a buddy of mine who listens to the show sometime could probably shoot me a note and tell me yes or no on that. But apparently he was considered for it. And I think that now with Barry Odom being there, I think that it could be an interesting spot for him to look to Ed and say, hey, how would you like to come here and be my recruiting coordinator and defensive line coach? Now, I don't know what that would do for his, you know, buyout from LSU, but still, I look at UNLV as a program that I say that should be fun. Like, you should be able to win in Las Vegas. You would think that, especially in the age of name, image, and likeness, and the individual being empowered even more in college football, that you could say, where's a better place to do it than Las Vegas? Be on a, you know, a Vegas, you know, as you're driving down the strip there, the huge screens that are going on these casino marquees, I guess is the best way you could say it. And you're representing Caesar's Palace, or you're representing MGM Grand or somebody like that as you're driving down the strip and just continuing to, you know, have your exposure out there even more. That I'm not saying that eventually you could build UNLV into a national power, but I think if nothing else, in the age of the transfer portal, especially as well, if you do it right, I think you could build that into an exciting program. And it's also, too, believe it or not, Vegas does have a strong local presence there. And UNLV is very much a commuter school in that area, but still, I think for the longest time, especially basketball-wise, you've had Las Vegans look at UNLV and say, hey, this is ours. Like when Tark the Shark was there and the UNLV Running Rebels were doing what they were doing on the basketball floor, that was an exciting place to be from what I understand. It was a little bit before my time, but still, that was excitement and then some. And you look at college football where people want to be able to hang their hat on something successful, and I think that UNLV could be a place that, with the recruiting profile out there in the Las Vegas area, you could also, too, be able to get kids from Southern California. I mean, I've talked about it before that I've thought that Arizona State could be the West Coast version of LSU, because you look at it, LSU is in a state that has outstanding, you know, recruiting prospects in terms of players and high school football in that state. But is it Texas? No. Is it Florida? No. Is it even Georgia to an extent? No. California? I just answered the same question as well. But you're near those places, and you can be able to pull from those places and be able to help build your program from those places. And UNLV, I don't think, is any different. You play now in beautiful Allegiant Stadium. I had a chance to be there on Sunday. It is a beautiful venue. And also, too, it sounds like that they've been, you know, willing to put money into facilities and into infrastructure in that program. So Barry Odom, you know, it's one of those things that people look at it and say, why would you take that job? That hasn't been a successful job more than a couple of years that John Robinson was there. I think he looks at it with the potential for everything that I just said right there and said, hey, we can build this thing into a winner. And in a pretty down Mountain West conference as a whole, who says that you can't build that thing into a winner pretty quickly? So I think that's absolutely why he took it. And then Jeff Brohm going to Louisville, that was something that for the longest time people were kind of perplexed of why he kept putting them off. And I think that Louisville's kind of another program that's just like that as well. Located in a big city, it is their team. It is a, you know, huge city atmosphere there in Louisville. And also, too, it's a program that's been able to win in the past as well and had NFL players come out of that program. So I think he looks at it as not only saying, hey, I don't have to try to contend and try to hit my head against a wall to try to break through and beat Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State and some of the other teams that are probably, you know, one up on us right now in the Big Ten, where now I can go to the ACC. If I have a good recruiting cycle or two, I've got good players there at Louisville. The infrastructure is already there. That I'm looking at a conference that the Big Ten, probably with its top-heavy nature of those three teams that I just mentioned, still has other programs that are starting to find their footing and starting to find more success. The ACC, Clemson, seems like they're kind of stepping backwards a little bit these last couple of years. Florida State, they do look like they're surging a little bit. You know, North Carolina, we've kind of now twice felt like, hey, maybe Mac Brown is going to get things going there. And they kind of get up to that line, and then they kind of falter back as well. So I think the path to win out of the ACC right now is much easier than it would be for him at Purdue at this moment. He might be able to have a year or two at Purdue, but the upside is far better at Louisville as things move along right now. And for Jeff Brohm to take that job, I think it's absolutely the right time and the right move for him to be able to do. And it's always funny with these coaches, you know, for the longest time, it was Dan Mullen was one that we looked at and said, man, when's he going to leave Mississippi State? And then he finally did. You will have some of these coaches who for the longest time do that. You know, Chris Peterson was that guy forever at Boise State that you thought would never leave. And then it was all of a sudden the right situation. It was a great situation for his son there at University of Washington. And he was successful at the University of Washington. So I think that it's also, too, that coaches just kind of look at what's my potential at this place as opposed to where I'm at. And they weigh that out. And for the longest time, I think that Jeff Brohm looked at Louisville and said, maybe not necessarily the right move for me right now. And now all of a sudden, I think he looks at Louisville and says, okay, I can win there now. And the path for me to be very successful there is much better than where I'm at right now. So I think all that gets weighed out for sure. All right, coming up next, a lot happening on Rocky Top from a season that exceeded expectations, however, also fell short. We'll break all that down with Ryan Callahan from Go Vols 247 right here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck on a Wednesday.
The Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Unpopular opinion. I actually like this song. I do. And I understand it's not a good song whatsoever. I mean, it's kind of a mail-in effort by Paul McCartney and Wings, but still, it's catchy. And whenever I hear it, I'm like, okay, hey, it's Christmas time. So I'm always for it. Let's talk some Vols with Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 247. He joins us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck. Ryan, appreciate the time as always. After the Christmas holiday, you're going to get a chance to head down to South Florida for the Orange Bowl. For the program as a whole, how huge is this game to not only want to get a win, finish off the season with some momentum, but to be playing in said game?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, I think, is just getting back to this point where they're in a New Year's Six Bowl. You know, this is the first time Tennessee's been in a bowl game like this in really more than 20 years. You could argue this is the biggest bowl game Tennessee has played in since they played for the national championship at the end of the 1998 season, winning against Florida State. So it's just getting back to that point is a huge deal. And certainly, I think, you know, there was there were a lot of Tennessee fans that wanted this particular game and this particular matchup going into the final weekend. There was one scenario out there, you know, if Ohio State had not found its way into the playoff, there was a scenario where they could have taken that Orange Bowl spot and sent Tennessee to maybe the Cotton Bowl against Tulane. Fans were very clear. They wanted that chance at Clemson. They wanted the chance to go to South Florida for sometime close to New Year's. So I think there's a lot of excitement about this particular game and this particular matchup. But, yeah, obviously just getting back to that point where they're in one of these types of games and in a good time slot for this game, too, where there will be a lot of people watching and an interesting matchup, I think. It's a big opportunity for the program and certainly just a big checkpoint for them sort of on their way back toward the top of the SEC.
Orange aplenty inside Hard Rock Stadium that night. It's going to be fun to be able to catch that one, there's no doubt. How is this Tennessee class going to shake out when it's all said and done here in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, they still got a little bit of work to do, but like a lot of teams, you know, more than 20 commitments now, 23 commitments in this class. So they're very close to being done with this class, but still hoping to add a few more pieces here down the stretch. It's been a good, pretty highly ranked class throughout the year, obviously, especially since they got five-star quarterback Nico Iamaliava back in March, kind of jump-starting this class, and they've gotten a number of other highly ranked players since then. So in a typical year over the past 5 years, it's a strong enough class that it might have been a top 10 class right now based on what they already have. But because there's so much competition, so much more depth, I think within the top 15 this year, kind of more teams getting those types of quality players, whether that's because of NIL or other factors. Tennessee's outside the top 10 right now, looking to try to crack that top 10 down the stretch. We'll see if they can get there, but they're going to have to do some work to finish there. But it's regardless of where they finish in the rankings, I think certainly the kind of class they need to continue to close that gap that we obviously saw on the field when Tennessee played Georgia. You know, in some ways, even that gap between them and Alabama, talent-wise, even though they beat Alabama on the field, they're not there yet roster-wise, but this class will give them, I think, another big step in the right direction as long as they finish it off and address a couple more needs down the stretch and obviously in the transfer portal too.
Find him on Twitter at RyanCallahan247. He's the recruiting editor for GoVols247.com, as well as covering the Tennessee program as a whole. And, you know, Jalen Hyatt, I mean, we see the news yesterday about the name, image, and likeness deal that he's getting. When it's all said and done, do you expect Jalen Hyatt to still be a part of this program in 2023?
You know, I still, as of right now, would be surprised. I think it's not out of the question, maybe. You know, crazier things have happened. But when you start seeing the kinds of projections that we've seen for him over the past few weeks, you know, even in late first round discussions, potentially, just depending on how things go, and knowing what kind of speed he has in particular with the numbers he's put up this season, I think it's hard to envision him coming back. But again, not out of the question. I think it's kind of been a foregone conclusion for a while now that Cedric Tillman, who was the leading receiver for Tennessee last year, will not be back this year. And there's a good chance, I think, he opts out of the Orange Bowl, as a lot of players do for bowl games these days. Jalen Hyatt's a more interesting decision. We don't know yet what he'll do for the bowl game. We'll find out if he wins the Biletnikoff Award tomorrow night as the nation's top receiver, but certainly has numbers as impressive as anyone's. And even against top 25 teams, you know, when you include that big game against Alabama, 200 yards, 5 touchdowns, pretty strong resume. So I think he's likely headed to the draft. And especially knowing that he's got the background where he could run something in the 4.3s potentially at the NFL Combine. That's going to be tough to turn down the upside of what he could do in the draft.
A couple more minutes again. Ryan Callahan, GoVols247. Find him on Twitter at RyanCallahan247. And Alex Golish leaving to take the job there at South Florida. Do you have any ideas right now? Are you hearing any rumors, whispers about where Josh Heupel is going to look to replace him?
You know, that's an interesting discussion right now because I think they've got a couple different options for how they could go about replacing him. You know, obviously Alex Golish was offensive coordinator and tight ends coach. Sort of the discussion, I guess, that continued throughout his tenure at Tennessee was just how much of the play calling duties he handled, with Josh Heupel obviously being the architect of that offense, being heavily involved in the discussions during games. You know, it's always been this, you know, Tennessee sort of insisted that Golish was the one calling the plays, but that's sort of been a source of debate over the years. So that opens up the question, does Josh Heupel have to hire another offensive coordinator who would potentially call plays, or does he have the option of just hiring a tight ends coach who would maybe have a co-offensive coordinator title or something like that? He's done that before at UCF. So in short, we don't know what direction they're headed there. One internal option who could at least gain another title out of this would be quarterbacks coach Joey Halsley, who I think is definitely highly regarded by Josh Heupel, has been with him for a long time, and I think would make some sense in that role just to kind of keep things on the same path they've been on before and not really shake things up too much. But we'll see what they decide to do. But I think the most likely course might be just hiring a tight ends coach in some form or fashion who wouldn't necessarily have to be a play caller, and then maybe play calling duties are split up between multiple guys, you know, possibly including Halsley, or maybe Heupel just admits he's going to handle it himself.
Got less than a minute here, Ryan. Again, Ryan Callahan, GoVols247. Can Tennessee still remain in contention next year with what's returning and what's going to be added to this program?
You know, I think this is where the bowl game might give us a better sense. You know, I think a lot of it comes down to what they do at quarterback, and Joe Milton is still a big question mark for this team. He got to start the season, a regular season finale against Vanderbilt, a little bit shaky that night in less than ideal weather conditions. So we'll see how he plays against Clemson, obviously a much bigger test. And if he's not sharp in that game, I think people will have a lot of questions about that. And that might open the door for a true freshman like Iam Aliava to maybe compete for the job next year. Or maybe they even look to the transfer portal for another option. I wouldn't say that's likely, but possible. So depends on the quarterback position, but if they're solid at quarterback, I think they could at least be an 8 or 9 win team next year and not fall too far. But certainly will be tough to sustain a 10-win level like what they established this year.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a season that I don't think Tennessee fans are going to forget for some time, and one that could have an even better ending down in South Florida. Ryan, appreciate the time as always, sir. We'll catch up again very soon.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
I appreciate it. Ryan Callahan again. GoVols247, and, you know, while things are building up for that program, you know, once you get to that point, people still come after you, and that looks like that's going to be the case at Tennessee.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save and save and win.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chuck Oliver Show. Continuing here on a Wednesday. And Chuck back very soon. Like I said, you know, it's just that time of the year. Sometimes you just need a little bit of R&R, and I think that's probably going to do Chuck some good. So we'll get him back here in very short order. Let's head back out on the phone lines, talk with our good buddy, Woody Womack, Rivals Recruiting Truist reporter for today on the show. At Rivals Woody is where you can find him there. Woody, how we doing? You know, this is very much April is the busy season for CPAs. This is your version of being a CPA in April right now, isn't it?
Yeah, this honestly was. This is the busiest December since I've been this, of course, with the adding a portal and everything. So, it is. I guarantee you these coaches are not going to keep this calendar up because there's no way they're going to spend the time recruiting their own team, recruiting their own commits, and then trying to finish things off over a two-week period while doing bowl prep and stuff like that. I guarantee the old coaches commission or whatever will be saying, hey, we need to shift the calendar. This is it's a wild month for everybody.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and it's kind of like almost, you know, the only example I can come up with in my mind is like the old Oklahoma land grab of somebody fired off a shot and said, all right, hey, go claim what's yours. I mean, that kind of, am I wrong here? Is that kind of, you know, to the description you just brought up there, kind of what coaches are dealing with is, hey, I'm on the phone with a potential recruit out of high school that will hopefully be with me for the next 3 or 4 years, as opposed to I'm trying to keep this guy around for the next 3 or 4 years.
It's crazy. I mean, much like the Oklahoma land grab, there's a lot of undesirable people entering the portal that don't realize they're going to have nowhere to go. So I think it's crazy. I mean, imagine you're trying to keep – you have to recruit your own players because, okay, say you're a player and you see a high school, you know, kid who's never played a snap getting, you know, multiple millions of dollars in an NIL deal, and you're like, well, hey, wait a minute, I've seen him in tackles. Where is my piece of the pie? You know, so the players, well within their own right, are saying, hey, why are these guys who've never done nothing, you know, all of a sudden becoming these major earners? Well, you know, I'm not, and maybe I need to go find a better opportunity. So it's not just about going to the NFL anymore. Like usually we're seeing that with a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, look at Devin Leary from NC State. This was a guy projected as a first-round pick before the year. He gets hurt. He would probably still be drafted third, fourth, maybe fifth round. But so what? I mean, at this point, if he can go transfer to another school and get an NIL deal for six or seven figures and improve his draft stock, you know, it's totally different than it used to be. So, yeah, that's the new world we live in, and it's kind of hard to quantify because a lot of that stuff is going on behind closed doors. But, it's crazy right now.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, it's funny, before having you on, I was going to tease, I mean, it's so weird that with the transfer portal being what it is right now, kind of feed into this point even further, is that we forget that this is, in the past, what has been about the lead up to National Signing Day in December, and it's kind of weird that we're not even talking about that right now. So college football just continues to get more and more weird, and just another way to adjust to the sport that we know and love. One of the top prospects, though, that is still remaining is a Tampa area guy, edge rusher, Keon Keeley. How do you see his recruiting ending up?
So it's kind of been like a foregone conclusion that he would end up at Alabama. Basically, even before he decommitted from Notre Dame, when you look at him, like his athletic profile, I mean, you know, wingspan and measurables like that. I mean, he compares to guys who are at the NFL combine. And so, you know, from an upside factor, there's very few guys in the class that kind of project better than him. So right now, I mean, Florida tried hard. Ohio State, I know, has really tried hard. But I just think, you know, I think Nick Saban's taking this one personally. I think, you know, he's a little fired up with the way things went down or didn't go down in relation to the playoff and kind of some of the coaching issues he had this year. So I think you're going to see them change a lot of coaches, and he's going to end up taking on a lot of these recruits himself, which, you know, he's always done. But I think even more so, like, he realizes, okay, I've got to do the old closing routine myself. I can't rely on these assistant coaches, especially when a lot of them are probably headed out the door. So, yeah, right now I've got him going to Alabama. It's been the passion. I think that's a safe pick.
And, you know, it seems like edge rusher, I mean, you look at the top remaining players out there, edge rusher defensive line spots still up for grabs in this class. Do you see that being the case as a whole, or are there other positions that are going to be later decisions either here in December or, who knows, maybe even in February?
Yeah, I think we're going to see some guys. I wouldn't be surprised to see some guys push off signing early, especially if they're not enrolling early, just because it's like, what's the rush, you know, if you can kind of see what the market is like out there as things change. But, yeah, those edge rushers are the key positions right now. We have, you know, Mateo Yungalale, DJ's little brother, you know, the Clemson quarterback. He's looking at Ohio State. He's looking at Georgia. He's looking at USC. And now it seems like a school like UCLA, especially with DJ in the portal, could end up taking both of them. So, yeah, he's another guy that's out there floating around. Georgia, of course, just got a commitment from Sam Pemba, the five-star at IMG. I mean, he was another one of those, you know, edge, kind of hybrid guys. So, yeah, that's the position. I mean, and that's the position that, as we've seen going to the NFL, is, like, extremely valued because one disruptive edge rusher, I mean, a guy like Harold Perkins at LSU, he single-handed on them a couple games. So if you find the right guy at that position, you know, he can change your whole defense and, you know, help your secondary. He can help everyone. So, yeah, that's why those guys are still uncommitted, and that's why a lot of top schools are battling it out right now.
Find him on Twitter, at Rivals Woody is how you can find Woody Womack there. Social media, jack of all trades. He's got it all as part of the Rivals Network. And you mentioned Mateo Uyongale. It sounds like, you know, it's also probably going to be, you know, a question of where does DJ end up to play his final season of college football. So, I mean, you know, with Mateo still being, uncommitted, I mean, you just mentioned, too, as well, a few schools. Is it likely that's a package deal, that wherever Mateo goes likely is going to be where DJ follows?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it only makes sense. I mean, these two have never really had a chance to play with each other because of their difference, and I don't think they thought they would get it at the college level. I think that, you know, DJ probably thought he'd be 3 years and off to the NFL, so now he's going to have an extra year. And, you know, everyone has been piling on him lately, and it's an issue of talent. It's an issue of confidence. If you look at his stats, I mean, go ahead and look at his numbers. Like, people are acting like, you know, he's a total bum. I mean, some of his numbers are better than Trevor Lawrence's at this point in his career. Now, obviously, Trevor's special prospect and a different kind of guy. But I think people are losing sight because, okay, he's had a bad game here or there. To me, it's strictly a confidence issue, and a fresh start will be good. So the question is, what school fits that profile to give DJ a chance to compete for the starting job and then get Mateo? I mean, I think it's the West Coast schools. I think it's Oregon. I think it's UCLA, you know, Oregon, depending if Bo Nix stays or goes. And, I mean, it could be Georgia. I mean, if they want Mateo, would they let DJ compete for the starting job? I mean, you think DJ is better than Stetson Bennett? I mean, you know, that would be, from a talent perspective, I think that's kind of a no-brainer. So, and I think playing for Munkin would be good for him, too. So I haven't heard them mentioned, and Georgia's got some talented quarterbacks on the roster already to sort through. But I don't think there's, like, necessarily an heir apparent in my mind to where you would say, hey, we're going to turn down a five-star edge rusher and a guy that could potentially step in and be our quarterback. So DJ's got a couple years of eligibility left, too, and I think that may factor into things as well.
How crazy is it, too, to think about the cycle right there that you just brought up? Is, I mean, let's be honest here. He was not the same quarterback after that Georgia game last year, and I think that probably hurt his confidence a little bit in terms of pocket presence, everything else of the sort, and be able to kind of, you know, make it go full circle. Again, Woody, college football, weird. Which program's recruiting cycle has particularly impressed you throughout this point?
You know, it's interesting because I've really been interested in the approach we've seen from Georgia. So they have kind of laid back now and laid in the weeds and almost been like, okay, who do we want to go get? Like, they flipped a commit from UCF from down in Brunswick yesterday. 6'7" offensive lineman. Nobody's ever talked about him. We've never written about the kid. Nobody had a clue what was happening. Boom, they just go down and steal him, you know. And they probably loved his senior film. They probably went down and watched him in person. And then all of a sudden, you know, we take a second look at his film. And it's like, hey, how did we not know about this guy? UCF was stashing him, you know. So they've done a really good job, and I think they're going to close with some names. And also some of the guys have been kind of undervalued. Surprisingly, Ole Miss, you know, keeping Lane Kiffin was huge, but the job he's doing recruiting, I don't think is getting enough credit. And some of these guys from Mississippi just don't get the attention that they deserve. I'm actually down here in Mobile at the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star Game, and they had this commit, Aiden Williams, wide receiver. You know, he might be a five-star by the time everything's all said and done. He's just been under the radar. People just don't really know who he is, you know, because he's from Mississippi. He's off the beaten path. And then they have another linebacker commit, Centurion Perkins, who Nick Saban is dying to get. I mean, they've been trying to flip this kid for 6 months, and he's still coming to Ole Miss now. I don't know if that'll be how it all shakes out, but that's a really good one. And, of course, Texas, you know, once they got Arch Manning, they saw a flood of commits. They didn't finish the season as well as they would have liked, but there's still a ton of big names, especially in-state for them, that they've been able to lock down, and I think they might add a few more before it's done.
Who has necessarily been underwhelming to you?
Well, you know, if Chuck were here, boy, we'd be talking about Auburn the whole segment. I was curious. I can't wait to talk to him about, you know, how things change with Brian Larson. They've been struggling. I mean, they did manage to get a few commits in there late, but it's like, you know, just not what you want to see in terms of, you know, recruiting. They're number 49 in the country right now. They're going to add some people, and they're going to have to go to the portal. But it's to me, it's not going to be enough to where you're in the SEC. You cannot be number 50 in the country recruiting. You can't even be 30, because if you're 30 in the country in the SEC, that means you're, you know, that's Vanderbilt territory. So, you know, I think they're a school that's struggling. I think – surprisingly, Florida State has they have a decent class, fringe top 25, and they got some really good commits. But I thought to see them do a little bit better in the state of Florida. I just still think that Mike Norvell and company need to really get down to South Florida and make their presence known. You can't just have one or two commits from south of Orlando when you're at Florida State. I mean, you've got to get down there, and you've got to make connections. So they had a great year. They definitely exceeded my expectations, but I think, you know, if you're Florida State, you've got to make your hay down there in South Florida. So they're not really doing that right now, in my opinion.
One final one for you with Woody Womack again, Rivals. And, yes, by the way, we will have you back, especially to talk what you just mentioned right there. We held out on you with being able to talk that with Chuck today. Woody, it's a date. We will bring you back for sure. But for Alabama, are there some immediate difference makers and some immediate contributors that can help this team at some very crucial spots? I mean, primarily the offensive and defensive line, but also other needs on this roster and what they project to be in 2023.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see how they handle the portal, because they've kind of been hit or miss so far, like in terms of the guys that they went and got. But one guy in the which I think they could use anytime this season is Caleb Downs, right there in the Atlanta area. I mean, this is a guy who can literally do everything. We project him as a safety. Of course, his brother, Josh Downs, is the receiver at North Carolina, who, you know, is probably going to be a fringe first-round pick, super productive. And Caleb's the same way, a little bigger, hard hitter on defense, just always around the ball. I mean, makes a ton of plays, makes plays on special teams. He had a ton of rushing touchdowns this year, catch passes. But just, like, has the – you know, alpha mentality in the back of the secondary, including those guys. Like, you know, I always say, like, if we're going to have somebody be a five-star safety, it needs to be Derwin James, it needs to be Minkah Fitzpatrick or somebody like that. And he fits that mold for me. I think, you know, that's where he's going to get some help. I think they need a lot more help on the O-line. You mentioned they've got a couple commits, in-state guys. But, I mean, this is not the the consistent drop-off in O-line recruiting has been kind of jarring to me over the past few years since they lost some assistants when, you know, Sark went to Texas. I think that I think they need bodies on the O-line. I think they have to go to the portal to get them. I just don't think they have them in this class. And, of course, wide receiver, they have Jalen Hale committed out of Texas. They beat Texas for him. Big body guy, Shahan. That's an area they need, too. I think one thing I've seen, and it's kind of been driving me crazy, is these coaches are more obsessed with how fast a guy's 100 meters is as to whether he can run routes or catch the ball. You know, we saw Alabama's receivers dropping pass after pass this season and kind of wasted a great season from Bryce Young. And it's like, okay, great, he runs a 10-4, but you know, can he run a slant and catch the ball? So that's really been driving me crazy. Even talking to the other recruiting people, it's like, you know, we're out here watching some kids and they're like, well, he's got no other verified numbers. And it's like, I don't need verified numbers. I'm seeing it right here, you know. I'm starting like the old man on my porch on this topic. But it's like, at some point, you have to trust your eyes and know that this is a football player. I'm sorry he doesn't do shot put, you know. I guess what I did shot put, it didn't make me any better at football. So, that's the thing that's been bugging me. I think Alabama's fallen victim to that at wide receiver a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's a simple question, right, Woody, when it all comes down to it. Can they play or can they not? I think that that's – I always love all these people who try to throw out these buzzwords, and I always just say it comes down to can you play or can you not? So there you go, both on the same page there. Woody Womack, again, today's Truist reporter here on the Chuck Oliver Show, part of Rivals, and find him on Twitter at RivalsWoody. Woody, I know it's a busy time of year. You said you're down to Mobile, so Felix's has got to happen for you, sir. That's a must.
Yeah, I think that's on the agenda tonight. I'm actually over here by the South Alabama campus. Nice facilities down here. They got a brand-new football stadium. They got an indoor facility. There's some SEC schools that would like to have the indoor they have. Yeah, I'm having fun down here. Be down here for a couple more days and then headed back home.
Awesome, man. We'll enjoy it. If we don't talk to you before then, have a great holiday, and we'll get you on here very, very soon. Thanks, Woody.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, Woody Womack there. And, yeah, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, you know, it's a total inexact science. I mean, it's funny. I was actually talking this with somebody earlier about another sport where I just said it's the most scientifically unscientific sport that there is, and that's recruiting in baseball, because there are guys that it's, hey, how did that guy get that, you know, that offer from that school, or how'd they miss on this guy, or any of those different types of things. And in football, it's that way as well, where you think there's the can't miss prospect, and then you look back, you know, you look ahead 4 years later, and all of a sudden you're like, man, that didn't really pan out the way that I thought. Or then you get the guy who, hey, you know, three-star recruit, maybe even less than that, transferred into the program, all these different types of things. So, again, you just never necessarily know how it's all going to pan out. All right, coming up next, speaking of the transfer portal, there have been lessons learned from a previous offseason, but unfortunately, they're not going to be learned this time around. The cycle just repeats itself. I'll explain what I mean as we close out the Chuck Oliver Show here on a Wednesday. Dan Matthews in for Chuck.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Most, you know, portal players, when they come in the next time, you know, they're not interested in the bells and whistles. You know what I mean? It's more like, get down to business. Where do I fit into your system? You know, where do you see me playing? You know, and so I think that's where it's different.
Yeah. I mean, you would think to yourself that in most years it's, all right, I'm out there on the recruiting trail, which this is the time of year that you see high school football programs on Twitter throw out photos of, hey, Thanks to Kirby Smart for dropping by Buford High School today. Or, thanks to Ryan Day for stopping here at Hoover or, here at Baton Rouge Catholic. Any of those, you get those posts this time of the year. But it would be very shocking and surprising to not see a picture with a coach and they're immediately looking to their phone because, hey, coach, we got to work on our tight end. He's thinking of entering the transfer portal. It's a, it's on one hand where you're like, I don't know how they do it. And then on the other hand, you have people who say, well, they get paid millions of dollars a year. Isn't this kind of part of the job? I guess it's all part of it. I'll get into this a little bit more on the Southern Beat because we don't have much time left on the show. But in terms of the transfer portal, I think that now as this has continued to evolve, I think my opinion on it is, has evolved. If you want to and feel like the best opportunity is for you somewhere else, then enter the transfer portal. But it's more or less a how to use the transfer portal. And I think that now it's one of those things of the rule number one is don't be just immediately enthralled with the eye candy that is out there. Of course, you know, there are the names that enter the transfer portal and immediately as a fan, you think, oh, yeah, absolutely. Huge addition to our program would do wonders for this program because there are countless examples that, yes, there are some that find huge success, but there are also some who find absolutely no success at their next spot. I think you have to answer some really important questions for yourself. Do they fit? Are they right for our program? And how can they realistically be used? I think you have to answer all three of those things. And then I think the last part of it as well is Kirby Smart talked about it this year. And I think you look at the themes of programs that compete and win titles. They usually all look the same. They get their own guys and they develop their own guys and they supplement through this. It's just like free agency in baseball and the NFL. You don't build a roster through free agency and trades. You supplement through free agency and trades. And that's how you be able to make things go for your program. I want to thank everybody that makes this show possible. David Holloway behind the glass. All of our guests today. Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck. Until next time, we'll continue on.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person like I did on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.